Right, it's a good morning to you, and welcome to Unpacking. It's the second edition for this week. In fact, we are in the second week of August. The second week of August, which started on the 8th, ending on the 15th. And on the 15th, we'll start the third week. And the third week will end on the 22nd. Then the 22nd, we start the fourth week and end it on the 29th. And then, of course, we have the 2 days. The bonus days, the 30th and the 31st. And I think winter is doing its last here in Windhoek. Winter is now breathing its last. So the last cold front is on. You know, before we get into the heat of September, October, November, and the Ember months. So, good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking. Welcome to Unpacking. We have stories we are going to look at today, and please, you are welcome to air your views. You are welcome to air your views to all stories that we are going to be having. So please be informed that your views are very important. And you are part and parcel of the conversation. So, all right, then we have the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts. That went to Rundu regional council or Rundu town council, and they were looking in the audits and trying to find out how much was used for what, when, all that financial report. And they discovered that the Rundu Town Council has not been giving, has not been filing those reports. In fact, the reports that are there are incongruent with the financial realities, which means they have unrealistic, unreliable, and untrue reports. Hey. So they have unrealistic, unreliable, untrue, non-existent financial reports. Now, the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Account was led by Henrik Gabeb. Pardon me for not pronouncing it as it should be. So, you know, I avoid those names because sometimes it's a click and you just don't know. But Henrik Gabeb is the one, the chairperson, and is now reporting that since 2019, the Rundu Town Council has not been compliant with audits, submitting their financial audits or financial reports. Why? You know why? Do you remember when I told you? Do you remember when I told you that the danger in the offices is with whom? The people that are very dangerous in offices are technocrats, the implementers. You know, those people are the ones that are very dangerous. And you know, people like councillors, they are the ones that are supposed to lead because they are the elected members of the town council. But instead of them taking a lead, because the CEO is appointed by the council, which means the councillors are more important when it comes to power of execution than the CEO. But it's the councillors come in and they dance to the tune of the CEO. Because most of the councillors, they are just politically handpicked, like somebody picking fruit. They are not professionals. They are politicals. They are politically elected. A CEO and others, administrators, are professional people. And the difference is that you can be a politician, elected and having power, but you don't know how to execute that power or how to exercise that power. So as a result, the CEOs and other administrators that are professional, they take advantage of the ignorance of the politicians. They take advantage of the, not even, let me not even use the word politician, because if I say politician, I'll be more general. Let me create a word here. Let me create a word. Allow me to invent a word so that we talk about, we are specific. These councillors that are now working in the town council are just political. They are just political people. They are not professional. So the competition between a professional and a political, I'm not going to use the word politician, because if I say politicians, I will include all the ministers and all those. But they are not. I'm going to use the word political. The competition between a professional and the political is intellectual. And because politicals are not that intellectual, let me not even say intellectual, let me say academic. Yes. So they are not academically sound. As compared to CEOs. So a CEO is somebody that might have a degree in something. Maybe has a degree in economics, but he's a corrupt economist. And they know how to play with numbers. So they can find a loophole in executing budgets and in the meeting there is always a boundary which these politicals cannot cross. Because political parties have a tendency of just picking whoever is available and putting them there. And then you are just voting for the political party. You are not voting for the person. You are voting for the political party. And political parties, of course, have a big name in your mind. You just go and vote. But you are voting for this person that cannot even express himself properly in English. And English becomes, by force, the official language in the Rundu Town Council. For example, let me use the Rundu Town Council now as an example, since it is the one that is in this serious karatagoma. It's a serious karatagoma, this one, because they are invoking the powers of the Auditor General very soon. And Rundu Town Council will face or might face penalties. They might be penalized. They might not even receive money, additional money. Now, the boundary that is set, the admin guys, these technocrats, will set the boundary and they will come up with discombobulating terminologies. They come up with bombastic words that politicians or these political people don't understand, because you were just a village person, and because of your tenacity, political tenacity, political zeal, and because of your resilience, you grew from one rank and file to the other. And then you are handpicked to say, no, let's pick this guy because this guy has been with us and he's serious. He's always the first in the meeting. He's serious with the party. Let's put him there. But this guy has no capacity. Apart from his zeal, apart from his resilience, apart from his competent, in party, activities. Apart from that, this guy does not have capacity to run as a leader or to compete with these technocrats. Because these technocrats can these technocrats are bound by labor law. They can go to court, like what happened with the Katima Mulilo, CEO. He went to court. So these guys are caught, and the labor professionals. Therefore, they can do what they think they want because they know the government has no guarantee that they are going to win in a court case. So they take advantage of that loophole, and that's a loophole. So the office of the Prime Minister and the Labour Minister need to come up with a way that if you are appointed as a CEO of the town, the Parliament need to come up with an act that will close this loophole, because it is being used by technocrats, CEOs, to do what they want. You know, I will be a sinner if I don't talk about this. Now, because these politicals don't have the academic prowess, because they don't have the bombastic language of English, they have the basic of here I just to construct a sentence. That's all they can do, just to be able to be heard. As long as we are talking, and I was heard, some people living be there, and they are nodding and clapping hands from what they don't understand. That is a problem we have in Namibia with our political parties. And that problem cannot be avoided, because political parties are always tempted to pick the people that are serious with the party activities. You can't pick somebody who just came in yesterday and they don't have a record of record of commitment. And unfortunately, the people that are committed to party activities are people that don't have capacity. You know, I used to run choir training. The people that are talented, that really have a voice, that can sing, don't come always on time. I mean, they are always not reliable. They are always not available. So you are always forced to deal with people that don't even know how to sing, but they are very committed. That's a problem we have. The people that don't know how to sing are very committed, more committed than those that have a voice that you really can rely on to. You keep begging the talented one to say, guys, please, let's meet. You keep wanting to come up with incentives just to lure them to come and meet. So people with capacity are not committed. And we can't blame that on political parties. Because you guys that are so-called intellectually, sound, the academics, you guys are not committed to party activities. So that's why it is easy for a leader in a political party to bypass you and take somebody who is committed, though they may not have they may not really be academically sound. They don't know how to speak English properly. And most of you in Ohangwena were critical of Uncle Usko because of his English. But you with your English, with your good English, you are nowhere to be found. And in fact, you see, no one knows whether you are coming or going. So in that case, the political party leader will be forced to pick somebody that is not that academically sound, but is a person that is committed and understands the party, how it functions. So we are in a predicament. We are in a predicament, and Rundu is not, Rundu may not be the only town council which is facing that crisis. Rundu may not be the same, but what will happen to Rundu will determine whether or as to whether or not other town councils learn a lesson or they keep doing the same thing. So we need to watch and see what will happen to Rundu. Whether the recommendations from the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts, whether this recommendation will be taken up by the highest authorities, and whether there will be a ministerial decision on Rundu Town Council. Because what happened in Katima last year with the dissolution of the town council, it sends alarm and shivers to all town council to say, hey. Because there has been a situation where the Katima Town Council thought they were untouchable because they have been constructed in the system. They found a loophole, they found loopholes in everything, and then they got comfortable. Little did they know that their loophole and their system, the systematic corrupt comfortability was decaying from inside. They didn't know that their comfortability was decaying from inside. It was imploding. So the town council imploded. And that was their end. They are now in a political dustbin. And we know that Swapo has a very big political dustbin. That once you go there and you come out again, you are very lucky. And not only Swapo, all political parties have that dustbin. You get into the political dustbin, you are gone. Maybe somebody will take you out. But what is going on in Rundu is a sign of a problem, a very big problem. Is a sign of a very big problem because you have CEOs and admin people that really understand the ins and outs of operations, of budgets, and of finances. And when a CEO stands up to motivate a corrupt scheme with powerful bombastic analogy, with discombobulating terminologies, with academic power, and with intellectual enticement. Guys, the counselors that don't know English will do nothing but nod on their chair. They'll just be nodding. They'll be transformed from manual into automatic gear just by the English. You people have not heard Namibian people speak English. That those people, when they speak English, they even tap from the old, they tap from the Macedonian dictionary. And you will be convinced, but it is a corrupt scheme. And the spending of that money will not even be recorded. Because the CEOs are also, in as much as they are very wise, in as much as they are very educated, and in as much as they are very, academically sound, in as much as their English is enticing, they are not aware that there is what is called the Parliamentary Standing Committee of Public Accounts. They don't know that there exists a Parliamentary Standing Committee in Public Account. Malaria can get into a body and act as a king. But malaria does not know that there is something that is called nevaquine or quinine or chloroquine. So until chloroquine shows up, malaria will continue being the king. So this, and most of them are caught by surprise. And I think the Rundu Town Council is now in a serious, what I call a serious karatagoma. Because they didn't know that there exists a Parliamentary Standing Committee that deals with public accounts. Or maybe they knew it exists, but they thought, because they are CEOs, there will be a loophole around these guys. But they don't know that the parliamentary committee is driven by a different spirit. So that's why I tell you guys that, look, the politicians are working. Because now, Parliament is in recess. But these guys are not home. They are up. I've been calling all of these politicians, including opposition, politicians from opposition. All the time I call, they are in a meeting. And sometimes the person is picking the call, and I can hear from the background the type of meeting they are in. It's a serious meeting. So I'm not pressing politicians out of the blue. I'm talking about something that I know. That these politicians, whether they are SWAPO or opposition, they are working. The only problem is that there is a mentality of working in silos. That mentality has engulfed government operations, where CEOs of companies, okay, let's go for a short break. and will be right back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So the politicians are working and the government is really working. If everything was in order, Namibia would not have been the same again. The thing that is delaying is because there are certain entities, there are certain people in the government who feel they are too powerful to obey orders. And most of the people that don't know what they are doing are not these people that are unqualified politicians that don't know how to speak English. No. The people that don't know what they are doing are professional people with degrees. These are the cancer in the government, because they are the reason why government derails and projects are not done. Because these guys have found a way of, you know, they have found a way, they have entangled themselves into being comfortable. They are officials. They qualify. And since we don't know who they are, because they did not use a voter's card or a membership card of any political party to get into the jobs they are in, nobody knows who they are. And these are the guys that are seriously sabotaging work of government. These are the bureaucrats and the technocrats. The bureaucrats in a form of, they can even sit on a project, on a government project, which is already approved. Parliament is already approved. Cabinet is approved. And the approval letter is somewhere in Windhoek gathering dust. And the Parliamentary Standing Committee on whatever, whether it is development, economic development, or whatever, they get into regions to see if projects are being implemented, just to discover a certain project is delayed for 5 years or 10 years. What happened? It is a CEO somewhere. It's an executive director somewhere that has been sitting on that project. And the governor will be surprised by the chairperson of the standing committee asking him questions. What happened to the project that was supposed to have commenced and be done this? The governor is saying, huh? Project? Where? Because the governor was, that thing never reached the region. It was in Windhoek, and it is still in Windhoek, seated on by an official. You know, a post-university graduate with discombobulating, bombastic English. I tend to be convinced that a bacteria looks better and attractive than a bodybuilding enzyme. So, I have never seen a bacteria before, or a bodybuilding protein. But something is telling me that a bacteria is, it looks attractive. A bacteria looks attractive than a bodybuilding protein. Stop, you know, the people, the bacteria in the government. The bacteria in the government is not a politician. Because a politician is busy drafting laws, busy moving up and down, checking if those laws are being implemented. The people that are dangerous in government are the technocrats, because they have a labor law to protect them. A politician does not have a labor law to protect him. A politician is appointed today and fired tomorrow. But these guys that have gone through, you know, HR, these guys are the ones that the government need to start dealing with. Seriously. Because there is a tendency in government where an appointee wants to assume power, wants to be more powerful than an appointing authority. A junior wanting to be more powerful, more influential and stronger than a senior. That is in the government. That's why the Minister Nekundi won the newly appointed acting board members. That he's not going to tolerate anyone answering to say, this is not your jurisdiction. You are not a line minister here. Whatever brand of expired wine these officials drink, we are sitting we are having people sitting in poverty because of these guys. So the Rundu Town Council, whatever will happen to Rundu Town Council now, whatever decision the line minister will take, will determine whether or not this bad habit ends or it continues. It is bad habit, you know, to have money allocated to you as a town council, but you cannot account for it. What is killing people in Africa? What is derailing development? That's why we keep talking about basic things that we're supposed to have done long time ago. It is lack of accountability. When people fail to be accountable, and according to Mr. Hendrick, or the chairperson of the Parliamentary Standing Committee on public accounts, he's saying that even the public will not trust the Rundu Town Council. Even the public will find it difficult trusting the Rundu Town Council because they cannot account for the money. For 7 years, it's not about 7 months, 7 good years. Money coming in, but cannot be accounted of. Cannot be accounted. It cannot be accounted for. That's a serious breach. And if I were the president, this is treason. You know, it is treason because you have the citizens in your hands. Because when people don't receive services, what do? They say it is government. And the citizens are correct. It is government. But government has allocated funds and enablers for the town council to be able to carry out its responsibilities. But the town council corruptly diverts. And they do their own things. And then they they do their own things. Now, when the people are blaming, they blame the government. And tomorrow, a certain political party will fail to have a seat in a town council because of a CEO or because of an administrator. And the councillors, like I said, are finding it very difficult to compete with these guys. Because these guys have read the acts in the sections and clause, municipal acts, they understand it. They know the English, which the councillors don't have, because most of those that are councillors are just uncles and aunties that were very committed to the parties, but they don't have the academic, they don't have what it takes academically to stand on the same platform and challenge these guys. Because a CEO can read an act, can quote an act in isolation. But there are other laws. So, and ordinary citizens are left to suffer because of, this. So ordinary citizens are left to suffer because of this. And I want to stress a point again. Whether or not I'm offensive, I don't mean to be offensive. But at the same time, I mean to be offensive. Because this is a tradition that has been ongoing for years. Millions or hundreds of millions that cannot be accounted for. What did this money do? What did we achieve with this money? There is no account. And the most people, maybe you people will also start to go in with there with your membership cards. So that maybe we know which political party is complicit with, which has the majority of people that are technocrats that are not performing or that are sitting on government projects. And so that we know whether this is a deliberate act of sabotage or is something else. Because when it comes to elections, it could be that some of you guys with degrees don't even stand on the line in the heat of the sun to go and vote. And then you come in with your degree to just come and sit on government projects. Now, I'm deliberately making an accusation. Because this accusation is not empty. In fact, it is coming from Parliament. The line minister, your line minister already said it, that the people that are confusing councillors in meetings, it is you guys with degrees, with English. We have also seen it. And I want to bring in the Katima Town Council as an example here. We have already seen it, how CEOs can be powerful. And how, you know, chairpersons of regional councils can be powerful. There were two people that were resisting, that put up a stiff resistance against the minister in Katima. The chairperson of the regional, council and the CEO. They stood up and said, we are not going to do that. We are going to challenge that. Well, the rest is history. Because when the minister stood up, I will use my own English word now. He started decorticating the town council into pieces like onions. Because power plus power, when power meets power, the lower power will always have to bow. And that's what happened. So, if you people think you are powerful, when you get into the office, at least be take note of the parliamentary standing committees, because they are going to come. And they want to have an honest report on their findings. They will give an honest report on their findings. And what happened to Rundu is 100% embarrassing. It's an embarrassment to the Rundu, you know, citizens or ordinary, you know, residents that entrusted you people with the power to execute developmental work on their behalf. And you cannot account for a cent for 7 years. When people have been crying in many suburbs not having water, not having electricity, not having street lights, roads that are not well, but you are sitting with money you cannot account for. Well, that was supposed to have even brought in the anti-corruption, commission to investigate, because if you cannot account for the money, where is the money? So where is the money? If you cannot account for the money, where is the money? All right, it is 7 o'clock, and we will be gone for a short break. We'll be right back, but if you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That's the number if you want to be part of the conversation.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
So we come back and we finish off with Arundu. This thing make, you know, this story made me very angry. This story made me very angry. And I'm not a Arundu city, a resident. But this story made me very angry. There are stories that I make, that make, they make me angry. One of these is this one. Public funds cannot be accounted for. And then you hear, no, certain millions go, have gone back to treasury. That story also makes me angry. The money goes back to treasury, but people don't have services. The intended purpose for that money was not achieved. The money goes back to treasury. Guys, I asked myself, what baptism have Namibian officials, undergone? Because Do we get into offices understanding the purpose for getting into offices, or do we get into offices for, you know, survival? Do we get employed because we want to make a difference, or is it just because there must be a difference on our accounts? Now, you see the mayor, after the dissolution of the Katima Town Council, you see the mayor coming up and make a press conference. And he says, apparently, the dissolution of the town council was tribally motivated. I was embarrassed by that statement. So, if you went in the town council as a tribe, then your tribe must never come back to the town council. Because you have shown everyone that your tribe cannot lead. If we want to glorify tribalism, because we are using it as, you know, sometimes we are using it as, you know, a basis to defend ourselves. Yeah, no, it is tribally motivated when you are fired because you cannot perform. And you say it's a tribal thing. Then you are telling people that your tribe cannot work. You are telling everyone that your tribe does not work. So the mayor's press conference was embarrassing. Big time. It was not only embarrassing, it was embarrassing to his tribe, the entire tribe. Because you cannot have underperformed. And when you are laid off, you want to use the tribe as a defense mechanism. Does not work. But that is what we have. You know, town councils not adhering, or town councils, you know, because the Rundu Town Council, Rundu is one of the biggest towns in Namibia. Kavango region is the second most populous. So we expected better, you know, operations. We expected better operations in the Rundu Town Council. Because Rundu Town Council is one of the biggest towns in Namibia. In fact, Rundu was not even supposed to be called a town council. It was supposed to be called a municipality. But we know that in the northern areas we don't have a municipality. Municipalities are here. Tsumeb Municipality, Swakopmund, Walvis Bay, all this. Windhoek Municipality. Most municipalities are in the south. In the north, there we have town councils. Because municipalities for cities. Big cities like Walvis Bay, Swakopmund, those are cities. Yes.
Yes, morning, Dr. Franz.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
We are fine, man. We are freezing.
You are freezing.
I'm telling you. You can see how the capacity feels like. It's a fridge.
That's one thing I like of the Kabashu. When it is cold, it's a fridge. But when it is hot, it becomes a microwave.
I'm telling you. We are freezing.
I was having my own Kabashu that side.
And what did I say, what?
I was having my own Kabashu that side of around the Chamisa Hill, around 2012-2011. By seven, it becomes hot already, and you want to continue at least laying down there. You can't.
Yeah.
You are forced to wake up early.
Serious matter, Flash, I'm telling you. It's freezing. It's not like we are in the August. The place is just something else. Yeah, you are talking about municipality or the town council.
Yes.
It's not only happening there in Orundu. That's why we see most of our town, they are not growing because of those. On the bridge, it's not taking place. Just imagine, if you go there, those people, they are having even like a tour accountant or something in Secretariat. Wow. And how come they cannot even... throw up a budget for expenditure. It's a problem because now we are having people who are there doing whatever they want. You are having a people who are learning their own business affair apart from the what? Driving the services to the people. And that's why we are having a mess in those towns. Because even now, the people, if you dig down from the, if you see maybe a CEO, then you come to the down people who are doing the rural work. Most of them are family members. I'm telling you, the corruption is taking place where we are. Because every time we are just looking at the parliament and the ministers. But I'm telling you, we are the worst. If you just go down and you check how even they are allocating their family member. If let me say now, I'm Master Franz. The Master Franz is what? A town councillor or what? Involved in town councillor of Karitem. Then I'm somewhere in Enana. We exchange the family members. Master Franz is giving me his member. Yeah, I'm giving him his member. This is what is happening in the county level. That's what I'm saying. How come if I'm absent, but I'm looking a job away, but I can get interview where and there? Not I'm specific about me. I'm just speaking in general. That's why you see now, most of us and people we are supposed to be allocated to councillors when it comes to town council and municipality. But I'm telling you, what was the window? How many people are working there? Did you see even them, their advertising posts? Never. But you see new people every day, new faces. And this is what is happening. That I'm telling you, Kocha, we always just look up there that the minister is doing this, a cousin of minister, a son of minister. But if you go down deep, those municipalities, and you look at the even people who are doing tenders, across members of those people who are involved in those town council and so on. That's why we are not going anywhere. I'm telling you, just imagine, you are failing to come up with a report of accountability. What you spend your money in, what, how much is left with. So easy. But people are there. Every day they're waking up to do what? To go to those offices from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock as an accountant or as an auditor. What they do? And if you go down to the, in the local salary structure, the people are well paid. Very well paid. But they are not doing anything at all. I'm telling you, I think it's a hard time for our honorable minister to clean up. If you are not able to produce a report, but you're waking up every day to go to work, what are you doing? It's time to go home. Then we bring the competent people. That's all what I want to contribute. I'll come later.
All right, thank you very much. I'm still having a lot of stories for you here.
All right, Master Franz.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I think we have done justice to the Rundu Town Council story. But this story makes me very angry. These are the stories that make me personally very angry. Because then that means we are going to be stuck on one place for years. Because it seems that this is a mentality everywhere. But there are cities that are performing very well. You will never hear chaos. Like, you know, cities like Swakopmund. Those cities are performing very well. And, you know, people need to learn example from Swakopmund. It's one of the city of performing at least better. But also city of Windhoek. Yeah, to a certain extent, city of Windhoek, they are really working. Yeah, so towns need to learn examples. And we talk about towns like Oshakati. Oshakati, they are also better. And we hear that the new, you know, Katima Town Council and the Vukalo, you know, Village Council, is it a town now? They are also working. The minister visited them, and the minister was impressed by at least what the Vukalo Town Council was doing. Now, we get into the minister's speech. The Minister of Urban and Rural Development speech at Olfuko, where there's only one point. You can go and look at his speech later. I'm not interested in getting into everything. I always pick a point from what a person says, and I, because the, for me, I'm a, I grew up with elders. Elders can say a lot of things, but they just mean one thing. So, the point that he says that Africans should look into their cultures. I'm just paraphrasing. Africans should look into their cultures and see how this modern, you know, lifestyle affects their cultures. That's a powerful, very, very powerful speech. But there is a problem. Because ministers, when it comes to, when ministers and presidents and government officials, they say a lot of things in, you know, on days, they say a lot of things on, on festivals, on cultural festivals. They say a lot of things that are pro-culture, you know, pro-tradition. We should go back, somebody will even say, we should go back to our tradition, to our cultures and the way we lived our lives. That's a minister talking, or a politician. It doesn't matter whether they are from opposition or SWAPO. They all talk the same way. Tradition is important. If you don't have a tradition, you're like somebody who is on a journey and they don't know where they are going. All those things. People be clapping hands. But you know, I have stopped clapping hands many years ago. Because you know, when a minister come to praise culture, how do I compare this? How do I compare it with? It's like fire, you know, speaking kindly to grass, and yet continue burning it. So fire can speak kindly, or it's like a lion speaking, you know, sweetly to a sheep and ends up eating it alive. So what is killing culture? What has killed culture and tradition? Because before we get to what has killed culture and tradition, the minister is saying one thing, but the government is doing another thing. Because the truth that we avoid admitting, even those of you that claim to have been decolonized, apparently you are decolonized and you are now a cultural person. You can even stop calling yourself Johannes and going to Ndeutapo. But your lifestyle is a Johannes lifestyle. Okay? So we talk about Africans must, they say, okay, I can see so much light here. It seems that I'm switched on. Okay. So we talk about culture and tradition as if it is something we can go back to easily. All these things that we talk about are nothing but just euphoria. You know, it's just euphoria. And euphoria is euphemistic. You know, euphemism. Euphemism, in Oshwamba we call it Okambwenga. In Silozi we call it Sovozi. You can change your name from Maria to Limbwesha, but your lifestyle is a Maria lifestyle because you are still applying makeup. You are still, you know, cutting your eyelashes and painting them back. That's a Maria style. Limbwesha doesn't do that. So we are not decolonizing ourselves. You know, the fact that you have withdrawn from, you have moved further from the fire, does not, you still smell the fire. You have been on fire, you have been near the fire. You are still smelling fire. So I don't know what you people are talking about when you are always talking about going back to culture. It really baffles my mind to hear people talking about going back to our tradition and our way of doing things in Africa. We were colonized and we are decolonizing ourselves. We are going back. How do you go back to your tradition and to your culture when you have a voter's card in your pocket? Your voter's card is already telling you that it's a point of no return. You cannot go back to your tradition and your culture. How do you claim to be decolonized when you are a member of a modern political party that is established on the basis of the Greek democratic values and philosophies? How are you a member of a political party and you claim to be decolonized? Decolonized from where? From what? We don't know what we mean by decolonization. When you are decolonized, you know the word decolonized can be compared to the word born again. When you are born again, it means you make a U-turn, completely, complete U-turn. like you were going the side of Rehoboth. And then you realize, no, I need to be in Ondangwa. What do you do? You make a U-turn completely and you get into a different way altogether. Because Ondangwa and the Rehoboth are opposite directions. So if we want to go back to our culture, which means we must do away with this current modern government system. Do away with it completely. Then we install our kingdoms back. And then we do away with this lifestyle that we have, and then we install our past lifestyle completely different. That is what decolonization means. Not Pan-African hypocrisy. Because most of the time we are full of Pan-African, hypocritical junk. And then we think that is being decolonized. No. Pan-Africans are funded by who? Pan-Africans are broke on their own. They don't have money. The person that is funding Pan-African is not here. So Pan-Africanism was captured from the start. So that you keep just making noise. You just keep making noise while others are waking. You will keep making noise about the colonial historical facts. Who did what? Who did what? All those things were funded deliberately. Abortions and all those things. You talk about them and you even march for them or against them. That's to keep you busy so that you may not focus on issues that will wake you up to become economically sound for you to stand up and take over your economy. And then you think being a Pan-Africanism is a badge of honor. It's not. It's a bacteria. That's a bacterial infection created deliberately so that you focus on making noise while people continue looting. We go for a short break. We come back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
So, Pan-Africanism is a bacteria created for a purpose. In fact, It was supposed to be an enzyme, but it was captured and transformed into a bacteria. Now, if I ask you, what have Pan-Africanism achieved? Zero. So, what is your so-called decolonization? What is it bringing to you? What value does it add to your day-to-day life? Zero. You are just talking about being decolonized, but you are not. In fact, you are more colonized than you think you are, because you are trying to live a life that does not exist. You can change your name from Johannes to Ndeutapo, but your lifestyle is a Johannes lifestyle. You didn't decolonize yourself. You entangled yourself. So when ministers are talking on cultural festivals, I listen very carefully. And then I compare what they talk about versus what they do. And then I find out that it's not something worth taking into heart. Because, you see, I don't take to heart what ministers say, I take to heart what they do. It's not about what you are saying. As far as culture, tradition, kingdoms are concerned. No. It's about what you have in your hands. So it's not about what you are saying with your mouth. It's about what you are saying with your hands. What is in your hands? A voter's card. Do you know what a voter's card means? A voter's card means power to executive, legislative, and judiciary, and then down to kingdoms, tradition, culture. That's what you mean by having a voter's card. That's what you are declaring every day, and the voter's card is in your purse right now. And then at the same time you are talking about, you know, being decolonized, and then apparently you are now a cultural person. You are not. You are entangled. You are between the two opinions. And I want to tell you which opinion is stronger. It's your voter's card. Because you don't just have a voter's card, you have a membership card. You don't just have a membership card, you have a regalia. So you have sealed the fate of your culture and your tradition. You have sealed it in three things. You have a voter's card, which is a national declaration. You have a membership card, which is a political party declaration and a regalia of your party. You can't have all those three powerful pillars, and then you come back and say you are decolonized. You can even change your name, it's fine, but you still have pillars that keep you from living in the Utapo lifestyle. You continue to live a Johannes lifestyle. You can change your names all you want, guys, but that does not mean you are decolonized. It just means that you are entangled in two opinions. But your opinion, your other opinion, is stronger than the other. And I will tell you the opinion that is not stronger, that has three pillars on it. Your Ndeutaponess has no pillar. You are a member of a political party. You are a citizen of Namibia. You have an identity card. And that identity card comes to be powered by the voter's card. Voter's card is powering the membership card. And you have a personal coat of arms, which is your party regalia and your party signature. So are you going to tell me that you want to go back to your culture? No, you are not going back to any culture. You are not going back to any culture. You are going forward into Greco-Roman cultural philosophies. If SWAPA does something now, all of you from your political oppositions will say what SWAPA did was undemocratic. It's not uncultural. No. It is undemocratic. Then what do you mean? You mean you are democratic. You cannot be cultural and democratic at the same time. These are two opposite directions. Our cultures were not founded on principles of democracy. So, in our cultures, democracy is immoral, it's unethical. Because in our culture, we only have one center of power, which is the monarchs. So when I listen to officials talk about culture in the festivals, I wonder what they are talking about. Because celebrating, what we do now is not culture. That's just a display of one or two cultural things. It's not culture. We're not celebrating culture. Or tradition? No. How do you say you are celebrating culture when even your speech is in English? What is the cultural, what is culture about that? What is traditional about that when your speech is in English? When the program is drawn on paper and written according to the philosophy of the modern world. There is nothing culture there. We are just displaying cultural items. So, when we are talking about cultural, like when the minister was talking about When the minister is saying we should weigh our cultural versus Western to see whether they match. Well, I don't know what the minister is talking about. Because it's like opening the door. And you are telling me, see if you can enter. Of course I can enter. So the answer is already plain that our culture versus this modern world don't match. Now, what is the solution to that? Because when our culture and this modern world don't match, that's already a problem. And how do we solve it? That is what that's where politicians will never go. The solution is very easy. Even the Pan-Africanists, they will not want the solution because they know once we invoke that solution, their voice will be silent forever and they cannot afford that. Because in our culture, there is no other voice except the voice of the king. There is no other voice except the voice of the king. When you hear any other voice, it's because that voice was permitted by the monarchy. So even most of you that are saying you are decolonized, you will not afford the solution to this problem. You will not. Because you know you will be silent forever. And you can't afford that. You know it yourselves. So we have come to the point of saying things we don't mean. We have just come to the point of, you know, chasing events. Just being euphoric at events. But we don't mean what we are saying. So, we don't mean what we are saying in most cases. We don't mean what we say. Or it either we don't know what you are saying or what you are talking about. Or we talk and we don't understand ourselves. Or we speak things we don't mean. How do you say Africa must go back to its culture when you have a voter's card? Yes, morning.
Yes, morning, Franz. Daddy Franz, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine.
Mm.
Yes, there is a word or a concept that is inculturalization. So that concept refers to how people can adapt to different cultures. Maybe it's not your culture, or maybe the way of doing things, just like in the context of what you started with about the Rundu concept. Is it Rundu concept?
Town council.
Where they don't produce reports, or they have not produced reports, hence they are not accountable to this, what they have spent, how it was spent, for what has been spent on, in all these other issues. It has become a culture there, because it's not a procedural way of doing things. It's not a standard a way of doing things. So that means they have gone, they have done things unprocedurally, not according to what is has been prescribed. So it means that they have adopted a different culture. Is the traditional way of doing things, acceptable way of doing things, is to give reports. So, but now, that is the culture. That's the tradition. So, of course, you can have maybe other way of doing things, which is not, like I said, it's not the traditional way of doing things. So, but there is a culture that is commonly accepted. How to conduct yourself, how to dress, how to do whatever, how to eat, and things like that. But you can as well change. You know, maybe the way that is has been done is not so appropriate, perhaps, or maybe harmful, because there are traditional or cultural harmful way of doing things, which sometimes we are not aware of. Like if you are not reporting now, you don't give reports, you are not accountable. There's no transparency. And the cardinal way of doing things is that, yes, they must be transparent. You must be democratic. Maybe not in the way of the monarchy. The monarchy way is maybe they also have a culture of doing things in terms of democracy, how they lead, how they share powers and things like that. But maybe it's no longer appropriate this time around. Maybe it's now harmful. Now you now adopt the one that is, that's not harmful. But maybe my understanding might not be sufficient enough to describe and explain that the way of the culture or the traditional way of doing things. So I was just trying to see how I can contextualize my understanding on your discussion.
Thank you very much.
Good.
Right. Yeah, so the solution, guys, is very easy. Oh, very simple. But we also need to differentiate between colonialization and coexistence. There are things that came by virtue of colonialization, but there are things that came by virtue of coexistence, because we are human beings. And as human beings, we coexist. We adapt certain ways of doing things from others. So, just like I can give you what you call Oshiwamba dress today. It's not Oshiwamba dress. Those were the dresses that women in Finland used to wear. Excuse me. They used to wear those days in the 18th centuries. So, and the Oshiwamba people adopted that as part of their coexistence with the Finnish, early Finnish missionaries. So, there are things that we copy from others, not because we are inferior or other people are superior. It is because of coexistence. We always have coexisted. We live among each other. So if there is any good way that other people have and we don't have it, we copy that and we start using it. So, but we don't make a difference of that. Because you will find somebody who is political, and you are going to blame SWAPO for a lack of roads in a certain area. So if I was truly in a decolonizing way, I would say, you see, that's a sign that we must decolonize. Do not allow roads to come to your area. Do not allow modern medicine to come, or modern pharmaceutical medication systems to come into your area. But now we are talking about government not having medicine in the hospital. Modern medicine, the very thing that we are trying to decolonize ourselves from, are the very things that we are fighting for. So that's why I'm saying that we should not talk about decolonization, we should talk about entanglement. We are entangled between two opinions. And it seems we are now making our mind up to follow the stronger opinion. A stronger opinion with three strong pillars. Number one, or maybe four. Number one is your identity card. You are a Namibian. A citizen of what? Of a unitary state, Democratic Republic of Namibia. To put it like that. Then secondly, you are a member of a political party. You have a membership card powered by a voter's card. Then you have already sealed the fate of your traditional authorities. How have you sealed the fate of your traditional authorities? Tomorrow you are calling on the Minister of Urban and Rural Development to recognize, let me speak it in an English, Namibian English, to recognize Omthia as a town. But Omthia was a village under a traditional village headman. Now you want Omthia to be recognized as a village council. You have already facilitated a coup against the traditional authority with your voter's card. You didn't march in the street to say down to traditional authorities. No, you are saying it silently with your voter's card, with your membership card of a political party, with your party regalia. You are saying already down to traditional authority. So which means you have made a coup against the traditional authority. You removed the headman, and now Omthia had a chairperson of the what? Omthia Village Council. And then from there, in fact, Omthia was a settlement. Once you see the what we call VDC, VDC is a KGB of the town council. that's an intelligence. It's like an intelligence squad. They are doing reconnaissance for the town council. Before you know, the VDC is more powerful than the what? Than the headman of the village. It is now a settlement. And then, before you know, a settlement has been moved into a village council. Before you know, the village council has been moved into what? Into a town council, like what we have in Omthia now. Who did that? It is you. Who did that? It is you. Now, if we say you are a coup, you did a coup, you made a coup d'etat, you are going to deny it, right? No, we love our king. We love our... Well, you just made a coup d'etat. That is a coup d'etat you have made. So, and you continue to make. Okongo was a village run by a headman. Today, Okongo is a town run by my friend Jackson Muma. Jackson Muma is now the CEO of the... Where is the Okongo village headman? Long gone. Who committed a coup? Jackson Muma and his people, assisted by you. They made a coup d'etat against what? Against the same culture you're talking about. So that's why I'm saying when we talk, we don't know what we are talking about. Or we talk and we don't mean what we are saying. And we know it very well. That is what we are doing. So if you didn't understand your voter's card, you need to start looking at it differently. So, and I'm not saying you must throw it away, no. But just look at your pace, take your pace out, you look at your ID, your voter's card, and your membership card. Those are very key cards in your bag. And then you need to stop talking about culture. Because you are busy sealing its fate with your voter's card, with your ID card, and with your membership card. And then you are claiming to be decolonized. So that is the second story. And we will be gone for a short break.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You Save. Where else?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, we are in the last hour. 083-288-401. Are you guys still decolonized? Are you guys still, you know, are you guys still going back to your culture? Yeah? Are you still going to change your name to say you are no longer Epaphras? You are now going to be Shifidi, and then continue living an Epaphras lifestyle. You know, somebody say, your name versus your lifestyle, do they match? This is what the minister is saying. The minister is saying your name is not matching with your lifestyle. So, you change from Maria to Limbosha but you are still living a Maria lifestyle. 0832 384 0 1. Yeah. 0828 0832 384 0 1. Shangwe Manduna. Mikaiza 24. Yeah, because we cannot walk the two opposite direction at the same time. You are saying, let's go back to our culture. Again, you are talking about other things. It's like Namibia Planning Commission say total decarbonization. Bank of Namibia talking about Bank of Namibia will stand up and say, prepare yourself for oil and gas. One bus going to Rehoboth and Ondangwa at the same time. Will it arrive? One bus. We are going to Ondangwa, but we are first going to pass to Kaukrand on our way to Ondangwa. Is that possible? We are going to Ondangwa, but we are going to Katima, but first of all we want to pass into Orangemund on our way to Katima. Listen to the language. We are picking up something in Orangemund on our way to Katima. Then the question will be, where are we coming from? Are we coming maybe from South Africa? Or where are we really coming from for us to pick something up in Orangemund on our way to Katima? Where are we coming from? He said, no, we are coming from Windhoek. Then somebody will say, hey, no. We are not supposed to get into this bus. Because if somebody is coming from Windhoek going to Katima, and they are still going to pass Orangemund to pick something up there on their way to Katima, then you know that that bus or that journey is confused journey. All right, I think we have done justice to this story. That is our second story. We get into our second last story about this is our last hour. So please, if you want to come through now, so that I don't want to tell you that our time is up. I will hand over the mic at 9. Now, it is just 6 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. And this is a time most of you are preparing to go to the office, or maybe you've already gotten into the office. You are listening, having headphones on. So, our second last story, it seems that economic hardship is sparking sparking ill behaviors. It seems so. That most of us are doing what we are doing because apparently it's poverty. You know, it is poverty. But Then when we investigate, okay, people are stealing because of poverty, right? People are taking drugs because of poverty. People are doing this here because people are poor, and so people can do that. Is it true? To a certain extent, maybe it could be true. But you know, there are things. What about those that are stealing millions, embezzling public funds? Are they also poor? Is it poverty that is driving them from doing that? Or what do we call them? We say it is greed, right? Because those ones have, but they just want to have more. What about those who don't have and they don't steal? What about those who don't have and they don't engage themselves into ill behavior? Okay, this brings us to a 33-year-old killed with a brick by a 16-year-old nephew in an Ankari area, because apparently there was an argument over food. So there was an argument over food, and then the nephew took a brick and hit the uncle with a brick. Is that poverty? When we get into what poverty is, then we can agree whether or not it is poverty, because poverty is not a lack of a thing or a lack of one thing or the other. Poverty is a state of mind. Poverty is a mentality. Poverty is a mentality. It's not a lack of one thing or the other. Poverty is a mentality. Now, of course, we live in the world of food scarcity. Food is just not available everywhere. We just buried a small girl in the Okahanja area that died because of malnutrition. So, that's to show you that food is not everywhere. And what you call simple or normal food, to some people, that can be luxury. To some people, that can be a luxury. What some of you call normal, like, let me just have a piece of pizza and, you know, some ice cream. To you, that is normal. But to somebody, that is a very luxurious, you know, food they cannot even afford. Because of the financial state and condition. Because our lives right now, whether we like it or not, is starting to be defined by how much money do we have. Our lives start to be defined by affordability. How much can we afford? How much can we afford? That is a determining factor. Whether or not you have a car, do you have a house? Because in those days in our culture, you need to have a house, you need to have cattle, you need to have a field. If you don't have that, then you are poor. Okay? Then in this modern society, you can have a homestead, and you can have cattle, you can also have a field. But then your status and your state will be determined as to what you do with what you have. Whether or not what you have generates income. If it doesn't generate income and you don't get any economic benefit from that, then you are poor. So, you are poor. So when we talk about riches nowadays, it's what you have that has turned into an asset or assets. And the assets that have value, assets can be, you know, evaluated and say, no, this is a multimillionaire because this person has assets. That is how our lives are being defined. This is how our lives are being defined. By what we have. By what we can afford. By our appearance. And where we stay. And the people that we associate ourselves with, that will determine as to whether or not we are rich or poor, or maybe middle-income people. Now, let's go for a short break, then we'll be right back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, 17 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. It's a good time. We are together. And I think I start to love this hour. I'm starting to love this very hour because you come and work when your mind is very fresh. You deliver because you are fresh. But once it is, you know, during the rest of the day, your mind is filled with a lot of things, and then your delivery quality goes down. But well, I've been up since 3 o'clock, so that is I think I'm going to sleep after here. Yeah. But does poverty justify ill behavior? That's a question that we need to answer critically. That does it mean because you are poor, you should behave in a way that is unacceptable, uncalled for, should do uncalled for things? Is it really so? Well, there are factors to consider. There are factors to consider. Because when people are poor, okay, let's take there. Yes.
That's the France. Okay, I was just taking my app off. Very good morning to you and the guys and this.
Yes.
You have got a wrong topic from 1 to 2, but now I want to dive in this one.
Yeah.
The second last, as you said, I'm also putting it under bonus contractuality of the opinion and the understanding when it comes to poverty. You know, poverty, you know, it's a state sometimes where we are entitled to our mindset. And sometimes it's also coming in different way apart from our mindset. Those who are pulling the string, for example, including policies, the national policies, if they are not speaking quite enough to determine how your people are going to live on a daily basis, the livelihood in general, those are some of the effects that one can, you know, talk of. But, you know, food cannot fall that France, for example, from the sky. One has to be hands-on. Let's put it this way, for example. A food bank is one example that can be a cause. In a way, you are trying to solve a problem, but while you are solving a problem, you are also creating one. And this is what the modern society is. You are literally giving somebody food to help them getting out because they are in need. But at the same time, you forget that by giving them food and not giving them a long-term solution as to how they will survive in terms of food needs, or they will be keeping, or you keep giving food, you are creating a problem. But apart from that, you are entitled to decolonize yourself from poverty. Because poverty is not only when you don't have. It's also about your mindset. Do you want to do something to change yourself on a daily basis, or to change yourself from a situation where you are? Whether it's a $10, at least you are doing something. Whether it's a $5, at least you are doing something. There are people, they are not even at the Kambashu, they are not even at the Kandingosho. I'm not talking about informal settlement. I'm talking about puka shops, for example, where people are now, you know, captured by drugs. People are captured by alcohol. They are not there. But because of laziness, because they got that mindset to say government will come in, because they got that mindset to say really people should see that we don't have, but they are not doing something about themselves. So therefore, when it comes to those who are pulling the string, if the police making also, if the police making is not speaking enough to ease the life of those who will be affected in one way or another, it's also a problem, because somebody wants to produce food. As you said, you put it well, very well, to say, in traditional way, you need to have cattle, you need to have farm seed, you need to have a field. But there are people who got fields, but they are not working. Whether it's seasonal, I'm now referring to subsistence farming. They are not working. Other people are plowing with an ox or maybe hoeing. I remember most of us in that era, we were hoeing. Either with a hoe or we were plowing. But then, today there are people who are not going there to plow at all, and then they will be regarded as poor. So we are manufacturing it sometimes. So therefore, it's good that you put it well, and it's good that you brought this topic about so that we talk about it. And then the other things, we are more of talking. Even to attach it to the bus, we are giving an example. Traditional and modern way of doing things. We are talking more, but the implementation is less. Including even the backyard garden, sometimes we are talking about, because this could be a solution to those who are dying from hunger. Drugs, abuse, alcohol, and some of this sector that contributed heavily. Otherwise, thank you very much. We'll keep on listening.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
And have a good day. Right. We continue. Okay, so when you give something to anyone for free, for the first time, you create an appreciation. That person will appreciate. And that's only what you have done. So I'm just supporting what he's saying. But there are four things that you have created. You also have created an expectation. So the first person, the first time you give the person free money, let me say I send somebody a 500 now, end of this month. I send somebody 500 in the village. That person will appreciate the 500 I gave him. But is expecting another 500 from me. That's another problem. Problem number one, expectation. Number two, he starts to anticipate, because if you give him for the second time, you are no longer creating appreciation. You are no longer creating an appreciation. If you give him for the second time, you are creating an expectation. If you give him for the third time, you are creating an anticipation. We are now getting deeper into problem. Then you give them for the fourth time, you already are creating an entitlement. The person starts to be entitled to the money. Even to say, no, I'm just waiting for France to send the money. Oh, my brother, send what money? I was just helping you for the 3 months that you said you're in problem. You have already created an entitlement. And then fail to give the 500, you create a resentment and war starts. Okay? War starts. That's when people will take a brick to hit you. They are hitting you for what? They don't consider that it is your food anymore. It is an entitlement that has created a resentment that went into anger and then action, and then life is lost. That's where you find 34-year-old men beating a 65-year-old or 70-year-old woman, his mother. He's beating the mother because the mother did not cook. Some of these guys needed to be my brothers. So that is when we, because we don't know whether we are spoiling a nation or we are helping a nation come out of poverty. Now we don't know. Because if we start with free handouts to everyone, what are we doing? We are creating, the first time they will appreciate. Second, they will expect. Third, anticipate. Fourth, be entitled. Fifth, we fail. It's resentment. They will take stone to go to the counselor's office. They want what? They want their food. No, but I was just helping from my pocket to help them. It was not forever. That is what a poverty mentality does in a person. That is why you can see there will be ill behavior from this, not because of the poverty itself, but because of a mentality. The aftermath of poverty. Morning.
Yes, most
well. Morning. Okay, just hold on. Το πιθανόταν όσοι μαρουάσοι φύγε πέντολα τα Ναμίβια μα βέρα βαρύνα μα θέλει ρε ατάνο. Ο κουτζά με φυκολα τέτελα αγούστε έφυγε μα μαφυκά το μιλόγω να του ασέπτεμπα. Η το καπούλο φούτο όσοι μαρουάσοι νουμπά ο κουτουρίβα μου εακούλολο εγγε εγγε ο έλεισαν γεφα κοντρακτά και σε γιο περάτες φάιμπα ηλε Skyfi. Ο τότουρίβα μου εακούλο ρίπελο ίντερνετ. Που πιθά φύγε πέντολα τα Ναμίβια μα βέρα βαρύνα μα θέλει ρε ατάνο. Ο μέ μου ηλό μόγκε σεφα εακούλο ο λινόγκο σου. Τα λέλα πω περάτες.africa/ Namibia. De toli shangi fanena.
Yes, money.
Yeah, money, Dan France.
Hmm.
Yeah, oh, Dan France, are you seeing it?
Hey, hello? Hey, Mr. Mandume, call back, please. Call back. I don't know what happened. Call back. I don't know what happened. Okay. Yes.
Hey, I don't know what happened.
I also don't know.
I thought maybe you cut me off that side.
No, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, Master Francis, you see, I think when it comes to us, Namibian, I think we are the one who are creating poverty to ourselves. So, because I think when we look at ourselves, especially when we can start from the food, clothing, even some of the material we use every day life. If you look at a national level, my friend, we've been fed by the South African. Starting from the food stuff which we are eating, the food which are in our fridge, it's not that we are creating ourselves anymore, the way we used to do. Even the chuck word itself, now, if you like, look the way we are, you can take an axe up, then you go and chop the wood. I prefer to buy charcoal because it's the easy way. It's made it already there, available. If you look, for me not to ask her to chase the marathon chicken, I can go and buy the black pass. Okay? And now, when you look how we are, even our electricity, we are getting Eskom. So, okay, and then we come to our own level. For me, not to go there to hustle, I'm waiting for government embodiment. Then even that embodiment never come. I don't want to hustle. But I'm having a license, I don't want to go and drive a taxi. I'm having opportunity to even join a security company. I don't want to go and work security company because I'm having a diploma. I'm I'm having a degree. But in the meantime, I'm struggling even the basic necessity, like even to just come stick. I'm not able to buy. Now, that's why we are, when you are saying we feel we're entitled, it's our own fault. But starting from the top to the bottom, seriously, look at our leaders, the way it is. The policy that the gentleman was talking about, our policy of intervention, like, okay, come, like, you know, the, when we grow up in France, our days, but now, you are getting that food every month for free. Huh? Able-bodied person, not even a disabled, huh? You are waiting for government aid. Okay, or drought already for something like that. Sometimes it's not even drought. You can go away when the moment to come. Those are able people to do something in life because they are young.
And then I'll but be walking there, and then they'll be laughing at me. They say, okay, matikoka puffy. When they can see and they are in the line to receive food.
I'm telling you. You know what I'm telling you? We feel entitled. And okay, we are trauma-free. Then the government is doing that for us. What else are able for me to go and look for a job if I know I'm waiting for a recruitment of police and what? Defense. Hmm? Then I'm there. I said, I'm not even answering. Grandman, that tell you, I'm going to open the door. I'm going to open. The problem is we are the one creating all those. What is our national?
For me, if you beat my mother for her money, I will take leave and come and sit on you.
Ah, seriously, those are spoiled kids. You know, if you, master, I'm telling you, if you want to sin, go to the north.
But that also depends. It also depends on how my mother has brought up. If my mother inspired the son, then she will receive beatings because that's what she wanted.
That's what they create. I'm telling you. If you go there, Master Francis, and then you take those people who grow up like either a father was a pastor, she has never got a luxury. Very now, what you have been to get to me. What they go over in now, yeah, and you get more looking up the eye, so banana and bonus. Mala, if you look at their life today, there's something else. Then on the ocean, it ought to be demonational. Instead of me to teach me how to fish, you are bringing fish to me. And I'm expecting that fish to come every Friday because you are giving me Friday every day, every Friday. The moment you didn't give me, and that is how we are. Even if you start a relationship like that with a woman, the moment they didn't take a lunch to her, she will ask, where did you take a lunch today? It's like you are cheating already. You see? In my father, Kalago, Shotalongo, I would have a Kalago. Mala, the way we are doing it to our kids. Ngenge, Junior, Guato, Wala, we are not a pie, Ningo, no beggar, scholar. You are running. To look, even sometimes I end up even asking Master Franz, Master Franz, I think I'm running out of my unit. You are lying. Because Junior, I'll check again. I give you the money at the end of the month. I'm telling you.
Just give me 500. I'm running out of petrol. Just want to go and
Junior, I get no brother. If I'm going to get out of Junior, I'm going to school. Yeah? And some of the kids, they are not even able to. That's why sometimes I'm on the end of. Look at that kid. This time, we are almost touching eating. You are lucky to have somebody who is providing you, having a roof. You are even Ben Crawford.
You are having a hairy lung in the box. That is a privilege which we have. And a lot of people, we don't see it. That's why we are mono and a business on a media attack when they get a wicked illegal tender. Malu, you are inventing power. Which are our pure tender like. Come up with something else. Not that you are dependent on tender. I'm telling you, we have people who've been for 50 years getting tender left and right. Then the man who made a creative program, it's a monoposia. What if you're throwing him, for nothing, you don't get nothing. You are not empowered. You are even when you start a company, even you become what? In poverty. More paper there, then you have to submit and what. The problem is us. Our police are there to Dana Media. It's the one who are training us, seriously. Then open up, when a privilege, I should have an opportunity, a chance, but they are not using it. And that is the problem. That's why you see our business in the premier, they are crying.
Yeah.
Because the tenders are going to the Chinese.
Mm.
But some of them, they've been getting tenders left and right. But up to now, they are just buying their expensive cars and the house.
Yeah.
Yeah? They are running out of debt. They end up selling those properties. Anyway, Master Franz, let me give you maybe somebody who come through.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, I think what we are supposed to do, we are not supposed to deal with poverty. Because poverty is easy to deal with. Maybe we need to deal with the aftermath of poverty. The impact that poverty leaves behind. You know, we need to deal with the impact, the trauma that poverty has had on an individual. Maybe that is what we need to deal with. Because I have seen people that work. You know, you work. An aunt that is working. You are working, you are teaching, but you know, this aunt is still having that mentality of counting, you know, pieces into the pot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. She goes. And she knows how many pot pieces did she leave in the pot. By the time she comes home, she counts again. To make sure. That's a traumatic stress disorder that poverty has left behind. Or you are hiding sugar. You lock the sugar into your house. You hide bread in your, and then you forget. It becomes fungal. That is a traumatic stress disorder that poverty left. But one thing we need to do is there are three things that are very dangerous. Four things. Number one, dependency. Number two, expectation, anticipation, and then entitlement. Those four things are very, very dangerous. And when we are helping people, we need to tell them straight up to say, look, I'm helping you this month, but don't expect anything next month. Because people must be taught to everyone that has today, they did not have because they went into the sky and then took something from the sky. They have because they are hustling. They have because they are hustling. Even companies are hustling to pay their employees. We are hustling to work and to be paid. The company is also hustling to pay us. So money is not coming easy. Now, you want me to give you the money that is not coming easy from the two ends. And you want to be the last end that must receive easily. How does that work? So that's why I'm telling you, even those that are receiving money, whether it is grant or it is whatever money you are receiving from the government, that money is not your money because you do not work for it. So even if you are in the line, on the line at the Ministry of Gender receiving food packages or food parcels, or you receive at the counselor's office, you receive food parcels, you are not, you don't even have the right to demand for those food parcels because that food parcel was not bought with your money. You are not a taxpayer. So that is not your money. You are not entitled to that money or to the food. You are receiving assistance. You are receiving what? You are receiving assistance. And politicians, you need to stop this, you know, false narrative that you push in ordinary people by creating a false impression that people deserve to receive. They are entitled. No, 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 no. People are not entitled. If you are not working and you are not paying tax, you are not entitled to receive anything from government. And if you receive, it is assistance. So it's a privilege, not a right. So if we teach our citizens to understand that, they will know that what I'm receiving here is a privilege. It's not a right. You know, old age pension is not a right. It's a privilege. It can be removed anytime. So it's not the Alpha and Omega that says a command from heaven. No, it's a privilege. Started by the former South African government and continued with by this current government. It's a privilege. When I started growing up, I started to understand that if I receive money from my father, it is no longer a right. It's now a privilege. Because I am grown now enough to hustle on my own. And that is what delivered me from dependency. And even my parents started to know that when I reach out for help, they know I've tried all avenues and I failed. So if we teach our citizens to think that they have a right to receive everything, then we are going to have a generation of spoiled citizens who are not going to think of working for themselves. So, I was told straight up by my mother that, you see, when whatever you are receiving now is no longer a right. You are no longer part of this budget. I'm the only person that was told that. And that helped me depend, to be self-dependent. You can hustle, even what you hustle, the little that you get is little, but it is yours. When you go into the shop, you are buying, you are spending the money, your money that you hustled. You are even careful enough to spend that money wisely because you know how hard it is to get it. So, Namibians, listen. Taxpayers' money, if you are not a working person, you are not entitled to what you receive. You are not receiving what you are receiving as a right. It's a privilege. Because the money that is buying that food, even if it is drought relief food that you demand on radio all the time, that's not your money. You didn't contribute anything to that money. So that money is taxpayers' money. And taxpayers are people that are having income tax certificate, that are having pay fives. that are registered with NAMRA. So if you are not registered with NAMRA, you are receiving assistance and you don't have right to demand. So politicians have deceived you in this area because they wanted your votes. But the truth is, the food parcel that you receive, and in fact even the grant that you receive, is not your money. It's not your money. Okay? So, the food parcel you receive it with respect. You are even insulting officials at the office of the councillor. You want your food, man. We want our food, man. Your food, man. That is not your food. That is somebody's money that has bought that food. Money.
Yes, Mr. Frank, sorry to come back.
Yes.
It's your conversation that is, you know, driving me back. You know, you mentioned people must be told that I'm helping you, but not necessarily to be an expectation, not necessarily to be an entitlement, assistation, as you put it. And then there's another word which say, carry your own water to understand the value of every drop. And here you are talking what transpired.
In fact, dig your own well.
Yes.
To understand the hardship, to understand what it takes to have water.
Yes. Of course, even the Bible, though, because here we are busy boasting that 90% of the country, people are Christian. The Bible says, whoever does not work should not eat. Now, who are you? Do not want to go out and hassle a $5, clean somebody's yard. You want to live a life beyond your capacity. And then here you regard yourself. That's what I'm saying, I'm calling it a mindset. Now, I want to quickly go back before I forget, because things are just creaking in. To say, when you say people must be told the truth, if you tell them the truth, the 29, they will not vote you. Somebody is hiding in somebody. That's why the expectation and entitlement came about. Dependence came about because people know that no, they will have to give us, because if they don't give us, then we will not vote for them. And those who want to hold in power also put a big bomb in people's mind to say they will come and give us, because it will become now an expectation, it will become now a normal situation, you understand? Here we are using words, maybe that little English of ours is not making sense. Dig your own well. You are under blankets while other people are shivering from cold, doing cleaning. If you go to Pioneer Park, you find people sitting in the street, waiting for whoever in need to pick them. Then, in the evening, they will pass at Stop and Shop, they will pass wherever they got something, either spinach, either matangara or whatever, to take home. They got something to put on the table, they got something to put on the plate. That's all. But I just came back because people must be told the truth. No one will tell the truth. Just take you back to your second conversation. Because if you tell them the truth, then they will not vote for you. Whoever feeds you controls you. Thank you, Mr. Farhan.
Thank you very much. All right. So that's the reason why I can never be a politician. Because for me, blue is blue. Look. I repeat again, change your language when you are going to the Ministry of Gender to receive grant. Change your language when you are in the line, in the queue at NAMPOST when you are receiving that grant. Change your language when you are at the counselor's office to receive drought relief food. Because whatever you are receiving right now is not your money. It's not your money that bought that. It is somebody's money. And even if you are saying you are demanding for increment, what you are saying is that you are demanding for that person that is paying tax, for his tax to go higher so that you can be increased. And you are contributing nothing to national revenue. So you don't need to, you have no right whatsoever to be entitled. That is now the real truth that the politicians will not tell you, maybe because they are afraid of you losing it. In 2029, you might not vote for them. But I'm telling you now that whatever you are receiving from government, receive it with respect because it is not yours. So, poverty must not justify ill behavior. And it must not justify, you know, unethical and immoral behaviors in society. Just because a lot of people are unemployed and so forth. We need to understand boundaries. You have a right, yes, but your right must come with responsibility. I thought I would touch on the fourth story, but our time, I'll come with the fourth story tomorrow. So what you are receiving right now is an assistance. It is not a right. Even our children, when they are small, it is a right for them to receive whatever. But when they are grown, we tell them that, look, now you are grown. You need to start to hustle. I cannot be buying from you everything, from polish to toothpaste, to clothes, to everything, even the bread that you are supposed to eat at your age. No. Other people on your age are responsible. You have to buy it. Or maybe if you want, you need to bring 50% of the money. Work and bring 50% of the money. Then I will add the 50%. And that person will be encouraged to work. To say, bring whatever you find, you get. I will know when it is a 50%. You just check to test the resolve of the person. Because otherwise, you are not living here forever as a parent. You are going to die tomorrow, and your children will be living in serious poverty because you did not teach them to stand on their own. So, of course, the tragic event happened where a 33-year-old man lost his life because a 16-year-old boy hit him with a brick. And it was an argument over food. And some people think this is a serious, this is a laughable story. It's not. People are in dire situation. And every bit of food can mean a lot. But that does not also justify the immoral acts. You know, it does not justify the immoral act. So, but we need to also understand that we might not be the ones that are paying tax. So our demand, to even demand the government to increase the grant or to increase the, because apparently one tin of fish is not enough. We need the government to increase more tins of fish for drought relief. That's good. But we also need to know that that is not our money that is buying all this, all that. It's somebody's money. Somebody's paying tax. So if you want increment, it means that this person that is paying tax must, NAMRA should increase the tax. The government, the Ministry of Finance, should increase tax. Now people are paying 15%. So it will be 18% or 20% of their salary. And then what will be left of them that are paying 20% if it's for, just because for you, you want to be increased and you don't contribute to the tax. So that becomes unfair. So that's why I'm saying, when you are going to stand in the queue next time, please do it with respect. It is not a right. It's a privilege. So it is not a right. It's a privilege. Let me repeat on the problems. So if you give somebody money for the first time, you create an appreciation. Person will appreciate you. Second time, problem starts. You create expectation. Third, you create anticipation. Fourth, you create entitlement. No. Fourth, you create dependency. And then fifth, you create entitlement. And then when you fail to give that money again, you now create resentment, anger, and the person will start to insult you. You always used to do it. What is the problem now? So because the person depends on that money, and the person is entitled to that money. And they are in anticipation. They expect you to give them. Because the first time you did it the second time, the third time, the fourth time, and the fifth time. Why now? Why stop now? So that is what we need to deal with. And until the truth is told to you, you will not change that bad mentality that you have. Well, this has been Unpacking. Let's meet again tomorrow with the same time. Same frequency. Have yourself a productive day. It's a goodbye from me.